Yeah, keep those messages coming in to us. We'll be catching up with them in a few moments' time. And don't forget, you can also email us, studio@kfmradio.com, or you can speak to Caoimhe on the phones, 045 898 999. Now, if you have maybe just retired and you're looking for a new pastime, or perhaps you're in the younger cohort and you want to take up a new sport or a new hobby, then you might consider bowls. And on the line now is the president of the North Kildare Bowls Club, that is Dudley Foster. Good morning to you, Dudley.
Good morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You might tell us, first of all, a little bit about the North Kildare Sports Club as a whole, because it's a fantastic facility out there on the road between Kilcock and Maynooth. Caters for a wide variety of different sports. And then a little bit about your bowls club too.
Well, North Kildare Bowls Club was founded in 1928, so we're coming up very close to our 100th year. Originally set up as a cricket club and then moved to rugby. Hockey is now part of it, tennis and bowls, which is one of the newer entrants to it. And very recently, an archery section has been set up.
Right, and the bowls part of it then, is it indoor or outdoor bowls?
It's outdoor bowls, played on an artificial surface, which is a mat. That is, 37.5 metres square. So it takes in six rinks. So it's the same as lawn bowls, which has been going for hundreds of years.
Right, you might explain to me, if it is possible to do it over the radio, Dudley, but the rules, the general rules then of bowls and the aim of the game, so to speak.
Generally speaking, it's a team sport. So there'll be four people on a team playing another four people. So eight people in total playing on a rink. The four players you'd have obviously would have two bowls apiece, and they'd be playing to a jack, which is a smaller bowl at about 30 metres down the rink. After the eight players have played, the bowl that is closest to the jack is the one that scores a point. And that can be up to eight people. The eight bowls from a team could be the maximum that could actually be scored.
Right, okay. And how long have you been playing bowls yourself, Dudley?
I started bowls after I retired, so I'm about 15 years playing bowls now. Initially, I was playing indoor bowls, which is a different game altogether. It's similar, but different because it's played on a mat that's only 12 metres long.
Right, okay. And what can you tell us a little bit then, maybe about the social aspect as well? As I said in the introduction, for people who might be nearing retirement or want to take up a new hobby, they might consider bowls. What can you tell us about that side of things?
Well, bowls is a very, very social sport. People come along, actually, and as you can imagine, a lot of retired people would play bowls, but they come down, actually, and they meet other people. They're out in the open, getting the benefits of fresh air, a bit of fun, and being competitive. Many of the players would have played golf or cricket, hockey, or various sports, and as they got older, they gave up those sports, and it just keeps the competitive edge for them, and really enjoyment socially, and that's about it.
Yeah, and what's good about it as well, and I've spoken to people who have taken up bowls maybe in the last year or two, and they were a little bit apprehensive going into it, but within a week or two, they were loving it. And it's great that you can go and play maybe different teams from different clubs, and from that side of things, there is the competitive edge, and you get to travel around and have the cup of tea, etc.
That's exactly it. You got it in one. In North Kildare now, we have 60-odd members, and we play both summer leagues and winter leagues. Then there's also individual competitions, singles, doubles, etc., etc. But it's a fun game. It keeps people actually active, meeting new people, and keeping the head straight. It's got lots to offer.
It does. And as you say, you know, people who maybe would be used to being active and playing sports like cricket or hockey, they might want to keep that element in their life. But you don't have to be overly fit or overly mobile to play this sport.
No, you don't. You don't. I think the great benefits actually is meeting other people and keeping your head straight. During COVID, actually, a lot of sports actually got closed down. We were less closed down than a lot of the other sports. And people actually just were able to get out, exercise, and have a bit of fun.
Mm. And if anybody listening is thinking, I want to take up bowls, is there any kind of preparation that you need? Do you have to go out and buy a whole load of equipment, or can you just rock up to the club and say you want to join?
Almost that. The only thing that you're required to have is soft runners or proper bowl shoes, which can cost around about €40. The actual bowls themselves, we would recommend people not to buy those initially. They can have the use of the club bowls. And as you get to know the game, you decide, okay, look, I'd like to get my own bowls. And you can either buy them secondhand for reasonable money or buy a new set for between €200 and €300.
Yeah, I think it's a great sport. And as you say, the social element of it is very important as well. And I know we have a lot of different clubs around the county also, but we just wanted to speak to yourselves and maybe chat a little bit about the sport and encourage people, if they want to get involved, to go out and do it. What is the process then of signing up, say, with yourselves in North Kildare or any of those other clubs around the county?
You mentioned around the county, so can I just take you up a little bit on that? The main bowls that are played around the county are the indoor bowls played by the Kildare West Wicklow Indoor Bowling Association. It's a different game. It's a slightly different game in the fact that it is played on a much shorter rink. We are the only outdoor rink in the County Kildare. There's lots of rinks around the Dublin area, and there's one down in Trim. The outdoor game actually it's a longer game, but other than that, it's fine.
Great! I didn't realise you were the only one. That's great.
Yeah, when we initially started in playing in 2017, so it's kind of a slow burn. COVID didn't obviously help because everything's closed down for a while, you know. But when things started to come back, it tended to be the outdoor side got the most new members. We would expect that in the coming year that we'll get close to about 100 members.
Super stuff. You're always looking for new members then as well, Dudley, yeah?
Absolutely. We can actually, at any one time, actually 48 people can play on our rink. So that'll be over the six rinks actually on the facility.
And if people want to get in touch then, what's the best way to get in contact with yourselves if they want to join?
Okay, well, first of all, they can look at our website, www.northkildarebowlsclub.org. Or they can contact us by email, which is northkildarebowls@gmail.com.
northkildarebowls@gmail.com. Okay, fantastic. I think it's been great talking to you this morning, Dudley, and just to shine a light on some of the clubs that maybe go under the radar around the county, but it's a growing club there in North Kildare. And I was only out there recently. I was driving from Kilcock to Maynooth, and I decided to swing in because I saw a hockey game going on, and I'd never seen a hockey game before, believe it or not. So I called in, had a look around the facility, and really, really impressive. And I know that you also have rugby and cricket and the bowls, as you mentioned.
Oh, sorry.
As well.
One I left out, actually. I'll get shot for it.
Go on.
It's tennis.
Tennis as well. Very important. Very important. Listen, so, Dudley, thanks so much for joining us and all that information. If people want to join, it's the only outdoor bowls club here in Kildare, the North Kildare Bowls Club, out there at the sports club between Maynooth and Kilcock. And Dudley Foster is the president of the bowls club there. Thanks for joining us, Dudley, and a very good morning.
Thank you very, very much. And everyone's welcome.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, before the break, we were talking to the North Kildare Bowls Club. Let's go now to the south of the county, and Victoria Kavanagh is Family Support and Community Development Worker at the Athy Community Family Resource Centre. She's on the line now. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, and thanks for joining us. I see that yourselves, in collaboration with the HSE, hosting a suicide alertness event tomorrow, and this is how to identify persons with thoughts of suicide and how to connect them with the relevant resources. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, so we are hosting an event for Safe Talk. So Safe Talk is a half-day training. It's internationally recognised, and it prepares people to recognise and engage with someone who might be having thoughts of suicide, and then to connect them with suicide first aid resources. So the talk in Safe Talk stands for Tell, Ask, Listen and Keep Safe. So we're having an event tomorrow in a Thai library at 10:30. Everybody is welcome to join us, and we really just kind of want to raise awareness of Safe Talk training. And we have kind of a community video that we've made of people in the Thai area that are trained in Safe Talk, and they will kind of be able to show then who's trained in the community, and we hope that it will reduce the rate of suicide if more people are trained and more people are aware of the programme.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very important piece that you're doing tomorrow, and it's in the Athai Library, as you say. The HSE say, look after your mental health, come along and get information and advice on preparing for life. So sad information there, heads up,
yeah.
Alone, the HSE suicide prevention, the health promotion, etc.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of useful information there and helplines that people can use.
Yeah, so there'll be some stands at the event, like you said, from different organisations. SOSAD, which is a suicide prevention organisation, Samaritans Alone, who would work with older people, mental health promotion, a lot of different stands. Heads Up will be there. That's a programme for men experiencing mental health difficulties. So they will all be there to provide information and advice to anybody that might be feeling down or maybe has a family or a friend that they're concerned about. They'll be able to get support for that. And we will also be running in the Family Resource Centre over the next couple of months some Safe Talk and Assist trainings that will be open to the community. So we'll have the information for that as well and the dates for that tomorrow if anybody would like to come along and get that information as well.
Yeah, and I know it is a difficult subject to talk about. It affects a lot of people, a lot of families out there, unfortunately, suicide. But often, you know, people can say, I wish I spotted the signs, or I wished I said something or noticed something.
Yeah.
I think this is, you know, part of what you're doing tomorrow is how to identify people who might be feeling low, what to say to them, how to give them the resources then to get help if they need it.
Yeah, that's exactly what the Safe Talk training is. So the Safe Talk is kind of the first step of the training, and that's a half day, and that would be with somebody that would be able to provide the correct information and evidence-based information on if you are concerned about a family member or a friend or a neighbour, and maybe they've said a couple of things or they've become a bit more withdrawn, how to talk to them, what to say. And the training also covers a lot of misconceptions. You know, a lot of people think that if you ask somebody, are you feeling suicidal, that puts the thought in their head, and that's not the case at all. And research would show that asking the question actually opens up a conversation about how somebody is feeling and their mental health. And that's kind of what we're trying to get across. So the Safe Talk training really prepares people to be able to speak about it and gets people a bit more comfortable with speaking about mental health and maybe suicide feelings and feeling, you know, lost and hopeless. And there's so many people out there that can experience that and don't know who to talk to. So that's kind of what we're trying to raise awareness about.
Yeah, that's an important word that you use as well, the comfortability of being able to talk about mental health. And we've heard recently about these campaigns trying to get people to open up. And if you say, how are you getting on? You don't just mean, you know, well, how's things? And you give the stock answer of, oh yeah, I'm grand. Ask, you know, how are you really feeling? How's everything at home? And all that kind of stuff. And try to delve a little bit deeper and hope that people might open up to you.
Yeah, 100%. And a lot of people don't maybe feel comfortable talking to a close family member or a friend. So we made a video of the people in the community. So they're local people that maybe work in the local shop, hairdresser, work as a GAA coach, you know, and we'll be showing the video tomorrow. So say if I'm in the video, it's, hi, I'm Victoria. I work in the Atai Family Resource Centre and it's safe to talk to me. So this video will be put out of local community members that it is safe to talk to if somebody maybe doesn't want to speak to a family member, or, you know, they're embarrassed to speak to a friend as well. And so there is people out there that you can speak to in confidence.
Yeah, that's a great idea, because often maybe people who are feeling low might feel as though it's a burden on their family. I don't want to worry, you know, my mom, or I don't want to worry my wife or my husband, or whatever the case is. So that's a fantastic idea. Yourselves then, just to move away from this slightly and chat generally about the Family Resource Centre, how have things been since everything opened up after COVID? And I see you're doing great work down there, lots of workshops, etc. going on.
Yeah, things have been good. They're definitely busy, but I suppose that's a good complaint to have at the moment. So we have, you know, lots of different services for people. We have family support. We have a parent-toddler group on a Thursday and counselling services, therapeutic services. And, you know, we're really open to anybody that would like to come in for a cup of tea and a chat. It's very informal. We will try to support or help anybody in the community that needs some information, advice, support, whatever it is. You know, it's a non-judgmental service. So thanks for asking about it. You know, we're trying to raise the profile of the Family Resource Centre here, because a lot of people don't actually know that we're here still.
Mm, absolutely, absolutely. Listen, before we let you go, remind us there about that event then taking place tomorrow, where, when, and it's free to attend,
It is free to attend. Everybody is welcome to attend. We would love to see some new faces coming, you know, that maybe we haven't seen before. So it's in a Thai library, and a Thai library is behind Deals in the town. It's on Convent Lane. If you check out our Facebook page, which is a Thai Community Family Resource Centre, there is all the information of, and the address and air code is up there. It's 10:30 tomorrow till about 12:30. There'll be stands, information. There'll also be some nice, you know, food, tea, coffee, stuff like that. And everybody is welcome to come along 10:30 tomorrow at a Thai library.
All right. Victoria Kavanagh, Family Support and Community Development Worker at the Athai Family Resource Centre. Thanks for joining us this morning. Best of luck with that talk. Very, very important topic in conjunction with the HSE. And it's all about how to identify persons with thoughts of suicide, how to connect them with the relevant resources, and also to let you know in the Athai area who's available to talk to. And that is great. And hopefully more communities around the country will follow suit. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. And as always, if you are feeling down, if you are feeling low, talk to somebody, anybody at all, a friend, a family member, Samaritans, all those fantastic charities that are out there doing great, great work, because talking is much, much better than feeling down and letting everything weigh in on you. So thanks to Victoria for raising that important issue.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
All right, welcome back. If you're just joining us, news that we broke there in the last few moments that's coming to us is that Argos are to close all of its Irish stores, including the one here in Kildare, which is on the Monreed Road in Naas, around there. Of course, the big Tesco area. And as I said before the break, we've no official statement from Argos as of yet, so we'll leave it there and wait until we get some confirmation from Argos itself. But that is the news that we're getting, according to sources, and a couple of messages coming in on that, which we'll go back to in a few moments. But let's go to the Newbridge area, and Fine Gael councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Peggy O'Dwyer, joins us. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning, Owen.
You were raising some local issues then with the council, and we've been telling listeners that there's going to be water outages in the Pearstown area tonight around Station Road as well, because of works that are ongoing there. You wanted the road linking Station Road via Pearstown to the new pedestrian path in Dara Park to be improved this year.
Yes, Owen, this year there were substantial upgrades to the roads and the footpaths within Darra Park, and it links onto Station Road via very short stretch to Pearstown. So Newbridge Access Group then in conjunction with Inroad Air, and we're going to go for the upgrade of the car park within the train station. So it would link it all very nicely. Now, there has been tactile paving there before, but unfortunately some of the houses, or maybe just one, actually tarmacked over the tactile paving, which was on the road. And tactile paving, as you know, is for people who are visually impaired. So they have agreed to put it on the list, and it will just make all that area very accessible and open for everybody to use in a safe manner.
Okay, if we stay in Newbridge then, and you want a confirmation that the car park behind the town hall in Newbridge is in full ownership of Kildare County Council. This is the one at St. Conlon's Park.
Yes, that's right, Owen. And again, this came up through Newbridge Access Group when we walked for Make Way Day, which is highlighting the needs of people with disabilities in our public spaces. And on the day, just somebody mentioned and said, I don't think Kildare County Council have full ownership of this car park, and they proved to be correct. So at the meeting yesterday, I asked who did own the section, and they are to come back to me with it. They say it's a small section. For me, I would just understand it, maybe that section that's cornered off for matches for the GAA. But all that area is going to be going through a cultural quarter renewal, civic space, and we have on the Bournemouth on one side the GAA grounds and the other, and our own car park there as well. So that obviously will have to be clarified before any development can happen within that area.
Right. Yesterday we heard from Mary Coyle, a listener in Kill. She travelled out to Newbridge and she spent an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minutes waiting for a bus to bring her back to Kill. And she said there was no bus shelter, no seat to sit down on, and she had a walking stick, which I thought was just shocking, really. But you wanted an update on the list of bus shelters that were listed for completion in the Kildare-Newbridge Municipal District. And that's inclusive out here to the bundle of sticks roundabout beside us here.
Yes, because the Newbridge MD stretches out as far as the bundle of sticks. Bus shelters are in huge short supply all over the place, and the one that I was particularly interested in is the one out at Tokers Business Park, where we have a nursing home. We have a huge amount of staff going on and off there for the bus, and it's also the bus route to Dublin Airport. So that was the ones I was really wanted to check on. I got no list. The answer was it's been updated and it will go forward for through the NTA. But we have an issue with the NTA now this year, that there may be a suggestion that the NTA funding to Kildare may be reduced or not at all. So that's another battle that we have to fight. So no, we don't have enough bus shelters. And even when you get one sanctioned for approval, it just seems to take an age to get it actually in situ.
Yeah, interesting that you mentioned the bus stop there at Tokers. I remember speaking to a listener maybe a couple of years ago who wanted to go out and visit their relative in Willowbrook Nursing Home, and they had to get the bus in and out. I don't even think there's public lighting on that road at all. It's very dangerous.
No, you have it on the opposite side at the where the restaurant is. But no, it is. People stand there in the rain, pouring down on top of them, and it's very unsatisfactory. So I'm told it's on a list, but what list and where it is in the list, around the list, is another. I'll have to just go into that one as well. But no, we don't have enough bus shelters. But they're all NTA funding. Mm. And the NTA now this year, we just need to do a little bit more digging. But I think the NTA this year haven't decided yet what they're going to allocate to Kildare.
Okay, you heard the interview we did last month with the listener from Tipperary who was up visiting, I think, work colleagues in Naas, was driving home then and crashed at the Mill Bridge or Victoria Bridge out in Thomastown. The car flipped over on its roof and she said she was lucky to be alive. And then when some of the neighbours and residents there from the area got talking to her, they said it was the 7th, 8th, 9th accident that had happened at that bridge over the last year or so. You again brought this to the attention of the council at the meeting.
I did, Owen, and since that lady, and I hope she's recovering, there has been another accident on that bridge. So it is a very complicated stretch of road with significant protection to the bridges, particularly the Mill Bridge and the Victoria Bridge. So it's going to take an awful long time to try and get this one sorted, because the mill itself goes back to the 14th century and it was restored in 1990. So there's huge historical significance within the area. So they have to talk to the Architectural Conservation Officer, Ruth Kidney, Simon Wallace from the Parks Department, about the amenity property that Kildare County Council actually own, the Heritage Officer. So this is very complicated. And Owen, at the time, you actually asked me what speed was on it, and I wasn't able to answer it. But it isn't 80. But what happens
no,
is...
No, it's not, is it?
If you come from Flood's Cross, you hit 80. If you're coming from Black Trench, it hits 80. But
Peggy, that's ridiculous now. And yeah. I said it to you, that couldn't be an 80-kilometre zone.
Yeah. So when you have on your car and your AC comes off, it's up to you as the driver to be able to create your own speed in a safe manner. But if you have an accident and someone says, what was the default speed on that road? It's 80 on Flood's Cross side and on the Black Trench Road. I drove both of them this morning because I knew I was coming on to it. But I rejected the Kildare speed review for all these reasons, that the rural roads were just going to be left at high speeds and even some of them were going up. So,
if you brought him over here, Lewis Hamilton wouldn't be able to drive over that at 80 kilometres an hour. It's absolutely mental. Yeah.
But they would argue on that it's the driver that then has to assess the risk as they're driving, in the sense of the road, where they are, the signage, the rumpers.
Well, you could say that for everything then. We might as well put the speed limit at 100 and say drive whatever speed limit you want there. That's shocking now, because that...
So the default is 80 on, yeah.
Right, okay. All right, thanks for that. That's Fine Gael councillor on the... Yeah, go on.
Sorry, I don't interrupt you. I want to wish a Thai Family Resource Centre Victoria very good wishes tomorrow. I'm in the Newbridge Family Resource Centre, and the work that Newbridge that all family resource centres do, reaching out to the community, is under, I suppose people don't understand it, but I just want to wish them the very best and say well done to them tomorrow.
All right, well said. Fine Gael councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Peggy O'Dwyer, and that's beggar's belief. If you know that road that we're talking about out there in Thomastown between Naas and Clongowrie, and you go over that little narrow bridge where it veers out in the middle of the road, before you know it, you're crossing the bridge in the middle of the road, 80 kilometres an hour. And we're asking the question why there's 7, 8 or 9 accidents taking place, and nearly one every month. An accident there, and residents in the area calling for the speed limit to be reduced. I would have put my life on it that it was maybe 50 or 60 kilometres at maximum, and even that would have been too fast. 80 kilometres an hour. Right, Mary in Salon says it's very disappointing about Argos. It's very handy to have it here in Kildare. You could always reserve things. It'll be very badly missed. Sinn Féin councillor Noel Connolly says very sad to see that Argos is closing its stores. I worked there for 15 years in several stores and worked with lots of great people. Hopefully their union mandate can ensure workers get what they deserve. My thoughts are with my former colleagues this morning. Yeah, news just breaking, and we'll have more on it on our news bulletins throughout the day here on KFM, that Argos is to close all of its Irish stores, and that would include, of course, the one in Monreed in Naas. Colm Walsh of Maid of Athy is on the line now, because a plaque to the late Zoltán Zin Collis, a writer, activist and Holocaust survivor, will be unveiled in Athy next week. Good morning, Colm. Thanks for taking our call.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I remember Zoltán coming to visit us in school, Piper's Hill College. He gave a fantastic talk when I was in transition year, and my jaw was left on the floor, dropped after what he told us. Such a fantastic speaker he was, and such an interesting man, Colm.
Absolutely. And, you know, he only kind of found his voice late in life after he'd retired. It's the nature of people who have experienced prejudice that they stay quiet in a community. They go invisible. They come. They try to fade into the background. But with retirement, Zoltán found his voice and became an activist, wrote the book Final Witness, and told his story in, as you said, the most heart-wrenching way.
Tell me a little bit about him himself then, before he came to Athy. He was born around 1940, was it?
Yeah, he lived his early years in the camp. Tells a terrible, terrible story about his mother holding his younger sister and wrenching the child out of her arms and throwing it onto a rubbish tip. And many stories like that. I remember one that he told me was that the older men would tell them to stop playing on top of the corpses. And then he said he knew it was gone so bad when they stopped telling them to stop playing on the corpses.
Yeah.
He worked in Kilkee for many years. He was a chef and he was a hotel manager. And I think he moved to Shamrock Drive probably around in the mid-70s, I think.
Right, okay. And there's going to be a short ceremony then to celebrate his life. Is it next week?
Short ceremony. Yeah. Next Friday is World Holocaust Memorial Day. And John McKenna will read from his book. Shane Sullivan will do a very appropriate Leonard Cohen song. And, you know, it'll be in the People's Park. It'll be a nice, I think it'll be a really nice and important ceremony. And the family will give a contribution as well, which is important.
Yes, so that's taking place next Friday, 27th of January at 11:30 a.m. Short ceremony, words, music, etc. The plaque is, of course, part of the Made of Athy project, which celebrates artistic contributions from people connected to Athy, from Johnny Marr to John Minahan and loads others as well, which is, has been very successful down through the years, Colm.
Yeah, and you know, now it just reminds me, I want to make sure that we send the symphonies of Made of a Tie to Seamus Byrne, the pipe who passed away this week. Part of that great tradition of piping in a tie. We lost Toff Quinn recently, and but the tradition carried on by Brian Hughes and by Joe Byrne and that. So just important to mention that.
Yes, indeed. Well said. And it's great as well that you're going to be celebrating Zoltan's life, because as I said, when he came to us in school back in transition year, it's the one talk that stays with me over and over again, his time in those concentration camps and how he survived through the Holocaust, etc. So well done to all involved there, and have a fantastic day next Friday at 11:30 to celebrate the World International Holocaust Day and the memorials there. And that is Colm Walsh of the Made of Athy project. Thanks, Colm, and good morning. Now, some of the messages there that are coming in to us. This one says, I use Victoria Bridge at least twice every day. I find that the problem is generally not speed, but it's drivers cutting the corners. In particular, large items like trucks and buses bully their way through and make cars stop suddenly. Yeah, I can see the point that you're making. I understand as well that the bridge itself is on a weird kind of a bend, and I know it's on of historical importance of the way that it's shaped, etc., and it'll be very hard to widen it, and they need certain dispensations and all of that kind of stuff to do it. But I'm still surprised that it's 80 kilometres an hour that you can drive there, that's the speed limit. I'm not sure if I'm on my own there or not. The bus shelters are a waste of time, says Mary. Have you seen how high they are? There should be a panel on both sides, not one. When it's windy and raining, you still get wet, and sometimes you're better off standing in behind them.